Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, I want to warn America, dear listener, beware America's color revolution. Yes, with Los Angeles in chaos and violence and fire and smoke again, right? And other cities descending in the same state, whether it be Minneapolis or Chicago or Dallas or New York. Indeed, we see with the so-called immigration crisis that there is a revolution afoot. And it is classically called a color revolution. What in the world is a color revolution, you may ask? Well, some of us are familiar with the term, especially if you've been following the recent history of Ukraine or even the recent change of government in Syria. Color revolutions, violent and chaotic, even as America is descending into. But for most people, the phenomenon of a color revolution might just as well be a new marketing campaign at Crayola Crayons or this year's fashion offerings at Prada. But really, color revolution is much, much more. The term color revolution has come to represent the revolutionary overthrow of an existing government through less than violent traditional means. When we think of modern revolutions, we think in terms of the Russian Revolution with Marxist rebels storming the ramparts, guns blazing, or Mao Zedong leading his Red Army into Beijing in 1949, or even the Vietnam War with Ho Chi Minh's shooting their way into Saigon at the end of that conflict in 1973. Revolution tended to come with this built-in model until the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989. A new model of revolution appeared then, tried and tested by our own Central Intelligence Agency over the decades, beginning quite simply with the overthrow of the Syrian government in 1949. The CIA cut its baby teeth, if you will, on regime change there, and they never look back. It's history. The CIA's history is one not of the effective gathering of intelligence on behalf of the president, but rather their history is that of a covert action agency against governments not friendly to United States interests. And if you're interested in the history of the CIA, I would recommend as a beginning the book Legacy of Ashes with the subtitle The History of the CIA. Legacy of Ashes tells you what the author thinks of their heritage. The author is Tim Weiner. Legacy of Ashes. Well, color revolution is a misnomer, really, and a very unfortunate choice of labels. What would happen in the course of these revolutions is that the leaders would rally their supporters under a particular color of flag. Consequently, the revolution would be named after the color of that flag. A good example is the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, which transpired between 2004 and 2005. And in the Orange Revolution, the people of Ukraine rose up and protested a fraudulent election result where the favored candidate, Viktor Yushchenko, lost to the very unpopular at that time, Viktor Yanukovych, who was, although, favored by the West. Yes. And so the protesters in Kyiv rallied to the city center under orange flags, ergo the Orange Revolution. The revolution was successful in that the original fraudulent results were annulled, and a new election was held in which Yushchenko soundly defeated his rival Yanukovych. The features of this successful revolution formed the pattern for other color revolutions, which were characterized by colors worn or brandished by their supporters. Other examples of color revolutions include the Pink Revolution in Georgia in 2003, the Yellow Revolution in the Philippines in 1986, and the Tulip Revolution in Kyrgyzstan, in 2005. Well, so successful have these revolutions been for the CIA that they reliably follow a pattern. And that pattern has these seven distinctive features that appear with more or less regularity in all color revolutions. Number one of the seven, an external power to the targeted regime sponsors and plans and organizes and implements the so-called indigenous revolutions. An external power is always involved. Well, the CIA has been doing this for almost a century now and has a great deal to show for it. Most recently, the Euromaidan revolution of 2013 and 2014, The Euromaidan revolution in Ukraine of 2013 and 2014. Now, this was an entirely artificially manufactured revolution, so-called, quarterbacked by our own United States State Department with assistance by the CIA. In this revolution, the popularly elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, you remember his name from a few moments ago, was targeted for ousting for his pro-Russian alignments. Yes. For example, he refused to sign a trade deal and make a political association with the European Union, but rather he made economic deals with Russia instead. Oh, this prompted then Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland to back Arseniy Yatsenyuk for president. And she immediately began working behind the scenes to build a coalition within Ukraine to overthrow the supposed pro-Russian government that is popularly elected, too, by the people. Let that be clearly understood. Well, what you see transpiring on the streets of the United States of America, even today, has its origins not in spontaneous grassroots uprisings, quote-unquote, but rather in entirely contrived astroturf mobs organized and funded by progressive activists, government NGOs, various factions of our intelligence community, and foreign powers even, like the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. For example, Norm Eisen, you will hear his name increasingly in days to come. Norm Eisen, a former Obama ethics czar, is a key player. Eisen co-founded Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington with the acronym CREW. And he also authored the playbook, A Color Revolution Manual. A Color Revolution Manual. Very significant, yes. Many of the groups you see active in Los Angeles and Minneapolis and Washington, D.C. and New York are funded by, brace yourself, NGOs, financed by money from USAID. Yes, oh, Elon Musk has torn the mask off of this reality, this truth, that so much of the money that is being used to finance our American color revolution is taken from USAID, your tax dollars. Those rent-a-mobs, those pallets of bricks being delivered to downtowns in our major cities, those expensive face shields and gas masks being worn by rioters, those Antifa black uniforms and billy clubs and professional organizers directing them, oh, they're all funded by groups like the National Endowment for Democracy and George Soros' Open Society Foundations, which in turn receive huge USAID grants as nonprofit NGOs. Oh, the money trail can also be traced to the Chinese Communist Party-backed front groups in the United States. These are prolific. In fact, so coordinated and effective are these Chinese Communist Party groups that they are collectively known as United Front Work, UFW, United Front Work, which labor to promote China and her interests and also to cause disunity and foment conflict among the U.S. population. So, If you're a shop owner in Los Angeles and a brick comes flying through your shop window, thrown by a well-dressed, well-equipped hooligan from who knows where, speaking what known language, right? You can thank not a random, spontaneous demonstrator, but a paid activist working for groups that have been planning a United States color revolution for years. A second element that must be present in a color revolution and is present in the one transpiring in America right now. A second feature is a cadre of dedicated workers laboring in cells is established, which network together under the management of community organizers. There must be a cadre of dedicated workers out there. This is a technique that the CIA perfected in places like Nicaragua and Iran, for example. In 1953, the CIA helped to create a core of organizers in Iran to protest President Mossadegh and install the Shah of Iran. And then once again, in Ukraine, during the Euromaidan Revolution, Victoria Nuland and the State Department recruited a team of community organizers to occupy and barricade Independence Square in Kyiv all through January and February of 2014. Now, this cadre of organizers fomented and brought into the streets thousands of Ukrainians to protest the Yanukovych government. Well, magically, these protesters were equipped with Western police shields and helmets and other gear supplied by United States NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Today, the action which you see in the streets of America is, once more, not a spontaneous grassroots movement, but an organized, targeted action directed by community organizers. Even as Barack Obama was. You realize Barack Obama claimed to be a community organizer? It sounds so non-threatening when you first consider it, right? Well, these community organizers have taken targeted action against the American people, and they take their orders from men like John Podesta and Michael McFaul, both of whom wargamed an American color revolution back in 2020. In the event that President Trump was reelected. And their plan is very clear. It was published in the New York Times. Their plan for an American color revolution, which is being implemented right now. Well, a third element of every color revolution is, number three, a grievance against the established power is seized upon and highlighted and aggravated and exploited as an injustice against the people. A grievance is nourished and provoked, right? This technique is a variation on the old cliche of nursing a grudge. That is, what may or may not be a legitimate grievance is hyped up out of all proportion into a major existential threat to the people and the nation, and it must be acted on by the people right now. Well, once more, in the Euromaidan Revolution in Ukraine, 2013-2014, the State Department, on advisement from the CIA, amplified government corruption and abuse of power. A case could be made that that was true in Ukraine at the time, but it was hyped and amplified the abuse of power and corruption as existential threats to the very existence of Ukraine, which must be addressed immediately. And this was repeated in media and on the streets incessantly. Well, this tried and true technique is, of course, being employed in our own color revolution, unfolding before your eyes, dear listener, and that is the poor, abused, put-upon immigrant. Ah, Trump is trying to kill immigrants. Tom Holman is illegally arresting and deporting innocent men, women, and children who are just trying to become hardworking, taxpaying citizens. ICE is abusing its power, and we, the people, must interfere with their arrest. Arise, uprise, right? Well, those orchestrating America's color revolution are seizing upon this issue as the most important crisis America faces, when in reality, it is one of many issues we face. More seriously, we might consider nuclear war in Ukraine, for example. That's perhaps a little bit more pressing. Well, and even then, the issue of immigration is quite opposite of what they're hyping it to be. That is, the immigration issue is serious in that millions of illegal aliens, many of whom pose real threats to our national security, they are living off of the largesse of the American society they have come to, and some of whom actually hate what America is and what America stands for, and they wish to see it taken down. Witness, for example, in the riots presently transpiring, the burning of American flags, and the raising and hailing of Mexican flags. So, don't be fooled, dear listener. Your enemies are merely manufacturing a crisis in order to foment revolution and overthrow your liberties and way of life. Well, the fourth necessary ingredient is, as a result of the grievance, political instability is deliberately created by the aggrieved. Yes, once more, the CIA learned in its practical laboratories across the world that just as a scab can be picked at until an otherwise healing sore is inflamed and infected, well, so, and even legitimate grievance can be exacerbated until a society becomes unstable and in danger of collapsing. That's a lesson that the CIA learned effectively in the so-called Arab Spring of 2010. And this tactic from the CIA's playbook was applied directly to the Euromaidan revolution in Ukraine. The protests were deliberately intensified so that soon government buildings were occupied and clashes between protesters and the Berkut special riot police intensified. Now, the protesters were constantly replaced with fresh bodies, while the patience of the riot police gradually wore thin as they remained for day after day in the battle. And eventually, the police responded with extreme brutality in late February 2014, and snipers fired on the crowd. It caused a public outrage and brought the situation to a crisis. Well, this same tactic is unfolding in our streets even as we speak. Battle lines are being drawn. America is becoming polarized as a result of the aggravation of grievance across the country. In fact, it may well be that a false flag event could happen, such that some illegal aliens at protest could be killed or a minority group attacked, causing further political instability, polarization of society, and real revolution bursting into flame, so to speak. So, make no mistake, dear listener, none of this is coincidental or unplanned. It is part and parcel of America's own color revolution. Number five, the fifth element that must be a part of a color revolution is, number five, what must follow is a crisis of the current authorities in power. Their legitimacy must come under question. Yes. Oh, question the reigning authorities. Now, the CIA perfected this tactic in Panama in 1989 with dictator Manuel Noriega. All through the 70s, Noriega had been a CIA asset who went bad, turning into a drug-running dictator, and the CIA prepared the ground for his overthrow by an incessant propaganda campaign in both Panama and the United States, undermining his legitimacy and authority. And when his fall finally came, no one minded. In fact, it was welcomed. And of course, this pattern was repeated in Ukraine, too. After the violence of February 2014, Yanukovych's regime was doomed. There was no possibility of recovery for him. And what Podesta and McFaul and the rest of this Marxist cabal want is to do the same thing to President Trump, question his legitimacy, and call for his downfall. If they can bring the so-called immigration crisis to a head, labeling him as a dictator or a king, right, then he can be undermined and forced to resign or else be severely compromised for the rest of his administration. Well, the sixth element that must be present in a color revolution is number 6. Media. So important. Media must be under the control of the revolutionaries, dictating the narrative of the revolution. Oh, this is a lesson learned again by the CIA, but to their consternation. In the El Salvador Civil War, for example, the radical socialist group, the FMLN, effectively broadcast their propaganda via Radio Venceremos. And the rebel leader, Hernan Vera, had his regular programs generating support among the people, and the government hunted this mobile, evasive radio unit relentlessly, but in vain. And the United States, the State Department, did the same in Ukraine, and they're doing precisely what our own mainstream media is doing in America now with a so-called immigration crisis. That is, identify criminal elements of the illegal alien population as family men. Of course, that happened with Abrego Garcia, famous in the news, that El Salvadorian gang member that Congressman Chris Van Hollande went to visit and have a cocktail with, right? And they characterize the illegal aliens as working immigrants and other non-threatening descriptors, right? And they portray what are really violent street demonstrations with burning cars and beaten policemen and citizens dragged from their shops and cars as mostly peaceful. And they lull their listening sheep into the false illusion that what they see with their own eyes and hear from reliable news sources, which are independent, of course, that all that is really just the opposite. Oh, so if our own unfolding color revolution fails, it will be in large part to the failure of the now discredited mainstream media and the reliance of the American people rather on alternative, independent news sources that are now flourishing. Be creative, dear listener. Be industrious. Seek out those sources. Well, lastly, the 7th element that must be present in a successful color revolution is number 7. A true dilemma is created for the ruling powers. If they strike with force to shut down the revolution, they only aggravate the situation and hasten their downfall. If they concede to the impossible demands, they ipso facto capitulate to their own overthrow. Yes. If all of the previous elements have been successful, then this last situation will prove to be the coup de grace for the administration. They find themselves damned if they do negotiate their way out of a situation, damned if they do, since terms are deliberately extreme, but they are also damned if they don't negotiate, because a heavy hand of force will further exacerbate the ill will of the people against them. Well, this happened, of course, in Ukraine with the Yanukovych administration. They found themselves precisely in this dilemma in February of 2014. Knowing that he could not sustain any further violent oppression without open rebellion across the country, Yanukovych signed an agreement which ushered in an interim government, constitutional reforms, and early elections, all of which were designed to effectively topple his administration. Well, President Trump is being maneuvered into this precise box/dilemma. If everything goes according to plan for the color revolutionists in America, Trump will be so discredited by his heavy-handed response to the crisis, that's how it's characterized anyway by the media, that he cannot further crack down on the uprising with force without risking nationwide resistance, such that he must accept terms dictated by the progressive left, which will effectively end his administration. Voila, your American color revolution, dear listener. Don't buy it. Do you see how close we are to losing our republic? That which has been practiced abroad for decades by the intelligence community has now come home. The overthrow of a popularly elected president and his administration in favor of the Marxist wolf in a Democrat sheep's clothing. And this happens again and again in these color revolutions. Once the ascending power is in place, it can never be removed. In fact, history has taught us that socialism that gains power by ballots can only be removed from power by bullets. Socialism that gains power by ballots can only be removed from power by bullets. Yes, so many in the American Color Revolution rioters across our cities are yelling, "No king, no king," referring to President Trump as if he's a tyrant in his immigration policy. Now, that deliberately harkens back to the rallying cry of the American Revolution, which was, "No king, no king but Jesus." Oh, that was the rallying cry of the American Revolution, not King George. No, no king but Jesus. And godless Marxists today expect to foment a socialist revolution without the blessing of God. Our founding fathers did not expect to succeed in their revolution and would not have succeeded without the gracious reign of King Jesus. So we say as well, no king, but Jesus. Jesus is my king. I hope that Jesus is your king. And may he reign and may he bring our free republic out of the threat and danger it is in with this American color revolution. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Come and join us. Find out who we are. Or you can give us a call for feedback or more information at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.